It's good to be with you again this morning, and it is a joy. I know our minds are focused on the Christmas period, and I know that when people go out preaching now, this will be perhaps a theme. But like always, I want to bring a word to you this morning, perhaps something that will be helpful, so we're not on that theme this day. Hopefully that this will be a message for those perhaps which are in trouble and difficulty. The Bible tells us that we're born into trouble as sparks fly upward. And when we go through life, no matter what age, what day, something happens and we find ourselves again with hardships, difficulties and trials. The hymn writer puts it like this: through many dangers, toils and snares, I have already come. And there's going to be a lot more as we make our journey there to God. And when trials and difficulties come in our lives, do you know there is no one way of dealing with them? Not one way of dealing with them. When you read the book of Psalms, you realize that the psalmist goes through so many different things, and yet he sometimes got questions, sometimes he's got doubts, other times he's victorious, other times he just simply prays. Other times, you know, he's able just to battle through. There are many different ways that when we're confronted with a difficulty, we can respond to it. And yet, you see, I want to say to you this morning in Psalm 77, what we are today, we are to do something in the day of our trials and our difficulty. We are not Tois here this morning. I hope we're not daft Calvinists, where we come to a point where we just have to go with the flow. That's what Taoism believes. You've just got to take the bumps. You're in the water, you take the ride. There's fast moments, slow moments. There are rocks. You've just got to go with it. That's not what takes place here. When this man was in trouble, he did certain things. He cried to God. He sought the Lord. He remembered days of old. He did something. He did something. And here this morning, I want to say to you, perhaps there'll be those in great difficulty. There are certain things that we need to perhaps even do when those days come upon us. And really, the first verse is how the actual psalm unfolds, when it says, I cried out to God with my voice, to God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. That's it. It's divided into two. I did something. I cried out to God, and God did something. He heard me. He heard me. That's what he did. And this morning, whatever this trial this man was going through, is one thing I do know about this psalm. It wasn't people. It wasn't people. You say, how do you know that? Because every time it is people, he makes mention of it. And this psalm, all he tells us is that it's a trial to him, so much so that he cannot even sleep at night, and there's a sore, and he's awake in his difficulty. And first of all then, from verse 1 to verse 2, that this man, this saint, cries out then what he does positively. He cries out to God. And the great thing is this. He cries out to God because he knows that God will hear him. God does hear him. That's one of the aspects of being a Christian, is the wonderful reality that we not just cry out in such a unbelieving kind of way, but we know there's a God who hears and answers prayer. And that God is our Heavenly Father, and he hears us. And when you make that prayer, you know, you just know, whatever you're asking, you know that he does listen. Now, don't be surprised. You see, there'll be people who are non-Christians. If you stop to talk to them on the doors, ask them this question: do you pray? You may be amazed. They do pray. They may be able to reveal to you a problem that they've got. And what they do is that they're unsure, but they're making prayers all the time. But they don't know to who, and they don't know why. But they don't know whether one listens. You know, this one cries to God. But here's the point is this, in verse 2. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. When that day happens in your life, there is something that does take place. You begin to seek the Lord like you've never sought him before. I want you to know that. It was read to us by Mark. This is written by Asaph. Asaph, let me tell you, was the public worship leader at the temple. We're not dealing with a non-Christian. We're dealing with a person who goes to worship each and every day. We're going to a place, a man who knows God's word and reads it. He is a person who lives amongst God's people. But you know something? Do you know what he does? He said, in the day of my trouble, I did something. I did something else. Not just go to a place of worship. Not just read through the scriptures. Do you know what I did? I sought the Lord. I sought the Lord. And it comes that moment in one's life where you may just turn up here today. But you know, you need something more. You really do. You need to find God. All of a sudden news is given to you. And when that news comes, do you know, having your daily readings is not enough. It's not enough. You say, this day, I got to know you, Lord. Beyond the sacred page, I seek thee, Lord. And I must find. And we go through the motions. And we sing our hymns. But he says, on that day, I began to seek him. I got news for you. Do you know that day when it comes into your life? Do you know what's happening? God may be kick-starting your spiritual life all over again. And it may be that you just come to a place where you just wander through it all. And then the big bang comes and you realize that you need him. You need him. I got news for you, and it's this. If you don't seek the Lord in the day of your trouble, you'll never seek him. Never. You'll never do it. Nothing will wake you. Nothing will move you. Nothing will shake you. Nothing will do it. But he says, I did it. That's what I did. I know I'm the worship leader. But I had to find him. I really did. And that is what he does positively. But then also, look, what he does, you see, negatively. And you find it there in the end of verse 2. My hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. He's awake. And what happens is that I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. And there is also something we naturally do. We just go into that default kind of mode. And it's this, is that when things do go wrong, there's not much that really can comfort us. We refuse to be comforted. And even when we come to remember perhaps things of God, instead of comforting us, we're even more troubled. So often, I must say to you, there are those, and it may be this day, that people have certain news and there are certain situations that you're going through, and you have to ask the person time and time again. You say, now tell me exactly what happened. Tell me again what the doctor or the surgeon told you. Tell me again and repeat it. Did he give you any kind of encouragement? And of course they did. Of course there was much encouragement. But all we can do is see the black. We can't see any light. We don't see any hope. And it happens like that. And so much so that we open up God's word. And instead of being a word for us, all of a sudden you see, it's a kind of word which is against us. And when we turn to God, we think there's something wrong and there's something not right. Now this can have an absolute crippling effect, and it does. No matter where you are in life, no matter what takes place in life, do you know you can overcome all things except for this. When your spirit, it says, is overwhelmed. Overwhelmed. I know people who are in great difficulty, they struggle through life, and what happens is they're able to do it. And they carry on. But when you come to that place in your life where you're just simply overwhelmed, you could be the healthiest person here today. You could be the fittest person. You could be the richest person. But I know this. If your spirit is overwhelmed, then it's all lost. This is what he does. These things the psalmist does. And then he does something else. In verse 4 to verse 6, not towards God now, towards himself. And you held my eyelids open, verse 4. I'm so troubled that I cannot speak, and I've considered the days of old. One of the things about us as human beings is that we have this ability to reflect, when times come, not a bad thing, to reflect. Reflect on our lives, reflect where we come from. That's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Do you ever do that? Did you do it this morning? I did it in the car coming up. I reflected where I was when God saved me. I reflected from the home I came from and where I am now. It's an incredible thing. But what happens is that this man now, he begins to remember and reflect now upon those days of old. He begins to think of ancient times, of how God has worked. Isn't that what happened with Job? When you begin to realize all the trouble, and then you see that finally one comes to him and then reveals to him and says, look now, Job, you begin to think. Think of the hawk flies in the sky. Think of where the ostrich lays her young. Think of the mammoth. Think of the great leviathan in the sea. Did you make these things? And you begin to look upon you and you begin to consider all these things. Now do that. Do it. You're in this day of trouble. And the day of trouble is very interesting. Because in the day of trouble it's this. My eyelids are open. I cannot sleep. My soul runs into the night. And all of a sudden I don't have that well-being. I don't know what my life's like. I'm so anxious about so many things. I cannot sleep at all. And I begin to meditate. Oh, I love this psalm. You say, why is this? Well, because of this. This is so real of what does take place. And then he says, I call to remembrance my song in the night. Have you been there? Have you been there? It's like this. It's utterly, absolutely bad. And you begin to sing. You begin to sing. You got a hymn. You got a song. Maybe one you learnt in a Sunday school. It's the most strangest thing as a Christian. You have all these problems. And then all of a sudden, you begin to remember. I don't know. Jesus loves me. This I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. And you begin to have a hymn, perhaps, that you sang on Sunday. Come, O fount of every blessing, tune my heart to sing thy praise. And then he begins, you see, as he remembers, and as he reflects, and as he does his research, he says, I made diligent search. Do you know, in your life, as you go through these periods, and you go through these times, one day someone's going to say to you, where did you get all that knowledge from? Your children, your brothers or sisters, how come you seem to know such things? Do you know what you can tell them? Oh, I went to school. It was night school. It was free, but it was night school. And in night school I began to think of God's ways in my life, and I've seen him. And I know him, I can trace him. And in that school I learned to sing, no matter what took place. In that school I made diligent search in my own heart, in my own soul. I did that. This now is what the psalmist does in these days of trial. But look now in verse 7. These six things that he does then, you know, give question to. And you may be there. You may be there. You come to the place and you've just asked this question. Is my time over? Is there no more for me to do? Has God finished with me? Even in this place? Will the Lord cast off forever? Now if I was in a Pentecostal church, I expect, I know, I do. When Mark read, no! Here it is, no! Can he cast off? No! Whoever comes to me, I will nowise cast out. And you can say, has God finished with me? He'll never finish with you. He loved you before this world began. He'll love you all eternity. And whatever takes place in your life, he went to that cross. He died for your sins. He'll never cast you out. But I said it. I was there. And I said, oh, he's finished with me. And I'm cast out. Oh, here's another one. And will he be favorable no more? It's the end of his blessings. Oh, I've come to that point. I've experienced them in the past, but I'll never experience them again in my life. There are people like that. They believe that they're in some place Well, because now things are not going the way that they want them to go, that it happens that they come to this place and they say something, there is no more. I'll just have to grin and bear it for the rest of my life. Here's the other question. Thank the Lord today that you're not Catholic. For His mercy, has His mercy ceased? Do you realise we're in the year of mercy? Aren't you thrilled with that? A year of mercy? His mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. It's not for 365 days. How could it possibly cease? Has the Lord forgotten to be gracious? Now the answer to each and every one of these questions is a simple no. It's just no. It's just no. He hasn't forgotten to be gracious. Has His anger shut up His tent? Of course it's no. But you ask the question. You ask the question. And you do it. Now look, that's the first half of the psalm. Of what the psalmist does in the day of his trouble. Now here's the good news. What God does. What God does. And it'd be pointless coming here this morning and just speaking about these things like some psychiatrist and not know the great work of God and what He's done. And what Jesus Christ has done. And what we remember of His goodness towards us. Here it is in verse 10. But I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work and talk of all your deeds. And then he begins to remember what God has done. Now if this is you in your life, I need you to think on this. I don't know where you stand. I don't know what's happened to you. You may not be a Christian here this morning. But if you are a Christian, there's something that you definitely know about. It's the work of God's right hand. Right hand. Now let me just read to you where and what this means. I'm reading from Ephesians chapter 1. And this is what it says from verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in heavenly places. Now when you hear the work of God in Scripture, and He deal now, metaphorically speaking, of His right hand, He's speaking of that work of power. He's speaking of that work of strength. He's speaking of the work of salvation. And it is a time in your life, He's speaking in that day, of how He brought them out of Egypt through the Red Sea. And He saved and redeemed the people. But I know this. When He speaks to us, He's speaking of the works of the mighty power of Jesus Christ. And what He's shown to us of that work of Him coming to this world. And the work of His incarnation. The work of His death at Calvary. The work of His resurrection. His great power that saved us. I remember that. I remembered it. And no matter what happens in my miserable little existence, for one little point in one's little life, for one season, you can remember the day, can't you? He saved you. The power of that. The way He came and dealt with you. Brought you to yourself. You were dead in your sins. The same power which raised Him from the grave. You've been raised in your mortal bodies. I knew it. I knew it. I came to life. Wasn't it a day? It's wonderful. I called on God to save me. And you know what He did? He saved me. That's what He did. I remember that. I remember the love that must have taken Him to Calvary. I remember the wounds that He bore. I remember an atoning death. I remember that. I remember now death being smashed and conquered. I remember the power of the grip of the devil I was brought. I remember that. You remember that, don't you? And you begin to think, oh yes, I know it's a day of trouble, but I do remember these things. And I meditate on your work and talk of all your deeds. Now that's something we do too. Of these deeds which God has done. Now it's like this in your life. There are those that you've witnessed to for a long time, perhaps in your family and amongst your neighbours. And to be honest with you, they've not been listening to you. And they haven't got time. But I'll tell you this. That day of trouble comes into your life. You tell them then. You tell them when things are not so easy. How good God is. And how gracious He's been. And how mighty He is. And how much He loves you. Do you know something? They'll listen to you then. No, they will listen to you. And they'll go back and they'll say, well, I don't understand it. But that person definitely believes in God. And they speak about Him. And they talk about Him. These things which God has done. You remember it. And your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and Joseph. And you declare it. You know that He has set you free. Those things you know. But there's something else here. It's what we don't know. What we don't know in our day of trouble. And here it is from verse 16. And it's dealing with these waters saw you, O God. The waters saw you. They were afraid. The depths also trembled. You know, we go through many waters. We go through difficult paths. And what happens now is that as the psalmist goes through this kind of experience, he speaks of what he doesn't know that God's doing. And as he begins to speak, he realizes he's in great depths. And then in verse 19, your way is in the sea, your path in great waters, your footsteps were not known. I don't know, you can look it up, you're a kind of technological church here, you can look it up on YouTube. There's 4 years ago, there was the 400 year anniversary of the King James Version of the Bible. And on that documentaries, there was many things which were done to celebrate what they considered the greatest piece of work in English literature. And the BBC itself had many programmes talking about how it became such an influential book. Well, if you go on your little YouTube and click into one of these kind of documentaries, there was one man which was actually taking one of these programmes. I'm not sure who he was, because I don't watch much TV. But I know this, he wasn't a Christian, because he said he wasn't a Christian. He wasn't. But what he said was this, that when he was in Scotland one year, is that he had met a man who was a fisherman, or someone who lived in that area, and their son had died and was drowned in this lock, in this lock. And on this documentary, what had happened was this, is that they went up there for the filming, and they were in a boat, and this presenter said this. He said, I'm not a believer. I don't believe in God. He said, I don't, you know, have the faith. But I'll tell you this. He said, the words he said from this book, they have sustained people throughout their lives. And when he was on the boat, he spoke about this man which he met, which lived in the area. And his son had died and was drowned in this lock. And he said, the one thing I remember was this, is that that man quoted this verse to me. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps are not known. And he said, that word sustained that man. Do you realize, for that man who was a Christian, God's ways were in the sea. God's salvation was in the depths. God's ways are unknown. And it's like that, you see, in our lives. But the reality is, we don't know that God is even here this day. We only hear but a whisper. He passes us and we realize it not. We don't see Him guiding and leading. His ways are past finding out. We cannot work it out. Cannot work it out. You know that poem? I've read it many times. I've read it at funerals. It's been of comfort, you know, to many people. It's called Footsteps. And what happens in Footsteps is this, is that there are two people which are on a beach. And what happens then in this dream that this person has, it may have been a comfort. I don't want to burst your bubble. Don't want to burst it. But what happens is, see, in this dream, is that as they're walking along the beach, all of a sudden there are one set of footprints. And then you see the person kind of in the dream asks the Lord, "You promised that you would be with me." And then the reply comes, "Well, do you see?" And then you see one set of footprints. "That's when I carried you." Now that's brought a lot of comfort to a lot of people, but I got news for you. This man, he's not dreaming. He's not dreaming. He can't sleep. My eyelids are open. My soul runs into the night. I'm complaining. I can't be comforted. I can't mourn. And you know something else? He's not on the beach. He's in the sea. He's in the depths. And the thunder. And the lightning. And the waves. And the billows. And you know something else? There are no footsteps. No footsteps. And your ways are unknown. And that's what it's like. In biblical terms. And you go through it all. And you see it. And you're there. But you just don't know. You just know this. That God's ways are in the sanctuary. They are right. They are holy. They are just. And they are pure. They are that. And I know that God has done this in my life. I know it as a fact. I've seen the days of His right hand. I don't know what He's doing now. It's past my understanding. And there you come to the final little verse then. And here it is. "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." And here it is for you today. Look, wherever you are, Christian or non-Christian, you're going to have trials and difficulties in your life. I just hope, you know, today that you know the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for you and His work of salvation. But you see what He says here, and He's speaking of what God's done. "You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron." I'm sure you may have heard this many times, but you see this book here. This book is like your map. It's your map, which is to guide you, to guide you through your life. And we can quote the verse, you know, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." You see, people say something like this. You see this book, you read this book, and it will guide you. It will really guide you. And you know, it's a book, and when you begin to read it, yes, I'm sure that it can stop you going various places and lead you, yes, I'm sure, in that right path. The only problem with that is I'm not very good at reading maps. I'm not very good. I'm really not. Do you know, there are people who tell you, "See this book here? It's like a compass. Like a compass. It really is." And it can tell you something else. I couldn't tell you which way is north. Don't really know. Not very good. Give me a map and give me a compass and I'd be lost. Do you know what I need? I need someone to lead me. I need someone to lead me by the hand. I need someone to take hold of me. To grab me. To pull me along, to drag me through those waters. I need someone to hold my hand and never, never to let go. I can tell you things and waters you would not even believe. In the family I come from and the place where we know the river, do you know they know a path? When a tide is out and many have perished and lost their lives, they be called out to go and find somebody or something. They know the path, they know it. Jesus said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life.
And this road you're on is filled with difficulty. You need someone to come and take you. And Moses and Aaron, oh, I got the Lord Jesus Christ. And you come to him today. And he'll take you. And he'll lead you. And he'll bring you to glory. That's what he does. And that's what you need. You need to go and take him by the hand for this life then.